All right, Vault Villains. Yeah, I don't know. I thought I'd give that a try. I'm going to be brief here because I'm closing out 2024 and beginning 2025 with pneumonia. This is another spot-on awesome example of Norm's appeal to all ages and how to just have the best time on radio. Because of that, I've titled it Just the Loverly Show. Oh, it's from December 29th and 30th, 1995. Mike Epstein and later Ed LeClaire were producing. The caller list. Laura. There's an attempt to call some guy named Ed in Cincinnati who wants to father a child with Madonna. Unfortunately, it's cut and we miss most of Norm's silly message he left him on his voicemail. Priscilla from Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Helen and Raynham. The fear-filled Tony Nesbitt, that's right, yours truly, calls in with a requested recipe. Norm mentions we are hoping to get in touch with Jamie Bernard, author of Total Exposure, The Movie Buff's Guide to Celebrity Nude Scenes. And that never materializes. Mike and I join Norm in the studio. John from Dorchester. Doug, the singing cowboy. The delightful Kathy. We are joined briefly by Linda Chase and her mom, Irene, in the studio. We hear from Millie, who's 16 and has a fun story. Norm leads into someone named Ziggy, maybe, with a couple of jokes that we never hear. Then there's Bob talking about Boston radio and heaping praise on Norm. Craig, a student going to UMass Lowell with more love for Norm. Our 4 a.m. friend, Generosa. She had a fire in her kitchen oven. And Pat from Boston, but the tape runs out. Additional notes. Two, count them two, traffic reports from Jack Hart that include two sponsorships for John Deere. Dunkin' Donuts WBZ promo for a Super Bowl ticket winner. Then there was the WBZ post-serial kid announcer contest that was voiced by Ed Donahue. And then a WBZ singing traffic promo by Mike Coleman. And Norm, by the way, wasn't going to be doing the New Year's Eve, New Year's Day show during the overnights because he was going to be doing a couple of his old-time radio talks in Beverly, Mass. Episode 216, Just a Loverly Show, hearts its way to your ears. Now,
in recent years, mostly weekends. Yeah, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights, primarily. Yeah. Yes.
But you used to do this birthday thing, or is this something new?
No, we always did that around 3 o'clock in the morning. Probably a lot of people haven't noticed it because it's on at a kind of a strange hour. But the reason we did it at three is because that's usually the quietest time of the day, and we thought, you know, let's perk it up with some really stupid feature. And so we did that. I think those are our exact words. I think we sat around and a story a little. We had our little, you know, as you know, we have our news meetings, our meetings all the time where we decide the future of the program and where we're going. I'm making all this up, so don't pay any attention to me.
And, you know, my problem is that I'm terribly gullible, and I believed you.
Well, I know when you say the thing is we have to be very careful about that, because when we say things on the radio, people tend to I believe people sometimes when they except I know a lot of people who are on the radio, so I don't believe them either. But there's something kind of authoritative about either reading in a newspaper or hearing something on the radio. I have to tell Mike Epstein just a second. I found that ad, by the way, Mike, and in a few minutes I'll give you the phone number. And we'll call it. We'll get a telephone answering service, but we'll see what it says. You don't even know what I'm talking about this month. You know the Eddie, the guy
because
who...
Because I actually turned in around 3 o'clock. I think I turned in probably quarter of 3 or 2:30 or... Because I turned in just when a young man didn't know anything about Nat Hentoff. You know, the 19-year-old kid.
Yeah, because he said he read the Village Voice,
right,
but he never noticed his column.
But I understand, and he was a sweet kid.
Yes, he was.
And I realized that, you know, that he probably just doesn't, as he said, he probably just reads for one thing. Because if you're really old, you know about Nat Hentoff.
I would think so, I would think so. But the Village Voice also carries a lot of entertainment ads and that kind of stuff. It's like the Phoenix. I think most people who buy that, I'm guessing, now, maybe this isn't so, but it seems to me a lot of people who buy that would buy it for the club news and the notes on rock people and the entertainment section more than the news section. I think that's probably it.
Well, anyways, one of the reasons I'm calling is that I was is it John Hart or Jack Hart or the
John Hart, I guess, is his real name.
Right,
John,
you call him Jack.
We call him Jack. Yeah,
well,
Jack Hart.
Well, I think he is amazingly worldly wise for 34 years old.
Yes, he really is.
I've just enjoyed listening to all his knowledge, and it's kind of knowledge. And it's kind of nice that somebody 34 knows so much about a lot of different things before his time, and I just, you know, it made me think that the younger generation does know things. Know things that the older generation, you know what I mean? It was the first time that
I know what you're saying, and I think we tend to sell young people short, you know, by assuming they don't know anything or they're not interested in anything or the things they're interested in are not things we care about. And it's not true. I mean, it simply is not true. I have two daughters, so I'm kind of prejudiced about that. And the knowledge that they have, I think, is amazing. I mean, they care about a whole lot of things, and a lot of young people really do. So when we say, they're young and they don't know anything, and I think we're being terribly unfair.
I'm beginning to think that the trouble is that we don't speak to that many young people. Do you know what I mean?
There's no question about that. There's kind of a big gulf between young and old, and not old, but older.
Right. I mean, you sort of, unless you're listening, I mean, I do talk to my friends' young kids. You know, when I say young, I mean 30. You know, I mean...
Yeah, no, I mean the same ages, too. No, I
right.
understand. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I really like them. I'm very fond of them, as a matter of fact. But I never really talk to them about... I mean, it's very interesting. You just don't realize there are some people in their 30s, probably their 20s, too, that know a lot about a lot of things because you just don't talk to them. I mean,
absolutely.
So that was something very new for me to find out tonight. Plus, that I had no idea the YWCA. I mean, YMCA.
Yeah,
was founded in 1851.
That's right. I wonder about that. It's a good question about the. You mentioned the YWCA. I don't have any record of them, but I would maybe. I don't know when they were founded.
Let's say 19.
I was just reaching for my book here. I thought maybe that might be in there.
I'd say maybe 1908.
1908. That's kind of sexist, isn't it, to have the YMCA and then not to have another one for the women till much later?
But I'm just, it maybe is. But I think everything is sexist.
You think everything is sexist? You think we're getting a little better about that or not?
Oh, we're definitely getting better. And I meant it not as a, I wasn't using it as a pejorative either. I mean, I think we're getting much better about it. And because I think... I don't know. I just think people are learning to respect each other a lot more. And some nice man held the door open to me today. And I just said thank you. And then I realized that I always say thank you whether a man or a woman opens it. You know, and I just thought it was so nice of somebody being nice.
Well, that's right. When anybody does anything nice, you say thank you. That's not a sexist remark, whether it's male or female.
Right, but I mean, there was a time when people, you know, felt that people shouldn't hold doors, men shouldn't hold doors open for women, and mainly not vice versa.
Yeah, you know what happens? You know what happens to it when you get older, like me. At first you resent it. Young people who are very, very nice and mean well, and they're doing well. We'll do things for you physically. That they feel that you're not capable of anymore. I can't think of a specific example, but I remember the first time a young person said, "I'll get that for you."
Yeah.
You know, so, and I thought, "Wait a minute, you know, I'm not that old and feeble." But actually, now I've grown to like it. I'm a little lazy, and if they want to do it, that's beautiful. I don't mind, you know, picking up something that you may have dropped or any of that kind of
right.
stuff.
Right. Well, you know, I'm only 54. Well, I'm not. I mean, I'm 54. But I'm saying only 54 because the first time that someone asked me, you know, if I were a senior citizen, and I actually look young. I mean, I don't, you know, I wasn't even offended. I mean, I said immediately, oh, no. And then it was a foreign student, so I said to myself, well, they don't realize exactly what Americans you know, how old Americans look, you know. So I just said immediately, oh, no. And then I said to myself, gee, I shouldn't have said immediately, oh, no. I could have had a free coffee. It was in Burger King.
The same thing happened
to me once when I went into a movie theater, and I said immediately, oh, no. So it's only happened twice. But the next time someone asks me, I'm going to say, yes, thank you, and just quietly take the discount.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's tough at first because you just don't want to face how old you are. You don't want to, you know, senior citizens always were old people, much beyond your age, feeble little people who could hardly walk around, and suddenly you find yourself in their age bracket.
Well,
and you're not in their age bracket yet. I understand that.
But I'm in the retired AARP age bracket because I get their literature.
Yeah, they start about 50, I think.
Yeah.
On that, and you know, but then after a while, you begin to think, you know, I feel good. I don't feel like an old man or anything. But if I can get a theater ticket cheaper, it's crazy to argue because the funny thing is,
it's a lot cheaper with the theater tickets. I mean, it's like, the thing is that my first reaction is always to be honest, but I made up my mind. Well, it's only happened twice, you know, and it was the coffee, which really was, you know, I mean, but the next time it happens, I'm just going to quietly say thank you.
No, take it. Hey.
But you know something, you're young at heart. I mean, I think when they say you're only as old as you feel, it's really true, or as old as you think, because just to keep your mind active and happy and... Do you know what I mean?
I certainly do know what you mean, because I've talked to people who are younger than I am, who act much older. You know, it's an attitude anyway.
That's it.
And I think it's probably a part of your life. You don't have to think. We ought not to think about all that much. But some people just sort of sit around all day thinking, oh, my God, I'm so old. I'm nearly 60.
Know something that happens after 50. I find more, you physically do have more trouble climbing upstairs if you don't do enough exercise. I mean, I never, you know, I mean, 3 sets of stairs, you know, I mean, you know.
That can be kind of mind-boggling. Yeah, that's true.
But I think if you, my resolution, I mean, I realize you're doing only resolutions that you can't not keep or whatever it is, that you can't break or.
Yeah, right. I will not do a devil flip.
Right.
Off the top level of the Tobin Bridge.
But I am definitely going to try and do more exercise because I started skating lessons, and it's just so much fun. And if I were a little bit more physically fit, I could do better at the skating.
No, I know it. I'm totally physically unfit, and yet I agree with you. I think we all should put ourselves in better shape. If you promise me you'll do that, I'll try to get more physically fit myself.
Oh,
I'm so darn ashamed. Oh, I'm just sick at heart. So much.
Well, you know, my parents, they always, I mean, it is true that you're supposed to exercise a lot. I mean, not a lot, but, you know, keep exercising from youth on. And my parents did not exercise, and they really led pretty long, healthy lives. But I always felt my mother exercised a lot, being a very busy housewife and very busy do-it-all. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
I just think, you know, running around doing a lot of things is exercise. I mean, for some people.
Oh, sure it is.
You know,
of course
I think
it is.
But I did read somebody who said you've got to just pick something that you really like, and then it doesn't feel like exercising. And that's true, you know, because the ice skating is so much fun, it doesn't feel like exercising.
No, I would think that's tremendous exercise. I noticed that I was watching the figure skaters and stuff on television. And the guys are tremendously good looking. The women are great with fantastic legs. And you know, it's because they exercise. They, of course, I think they overdo it. They must do, I don't know how many hours a day they have to practice skating to get to that shape. And I wonder if they know anything beyond skating. But at least while they're skating, they're beautiful, absolutely beautiful to look at.
Well, you're either.
Well, not only fat, but I mean, you don't. Skaters that don't seem to ever be ugly.
No, I agree. You know, I mean, and I sort of addended that. No, that was something, that's a new idea for me, which I agree with. I mean, I just think that maybe the glow or the flow or maybe the flow glow.
Something of that nature.
You might say that you don't realize what you say, but I can never think of something witty to say on purpose. Do you know what I mean? That some people do tons and they do loads of other things always on purpose. And if I try to do something tonny on purpose, it comes out so practiced.
Okay. I'm sure you're undermining yourself or underrating yourself. We're gonna give a call to Eddie in Cincinnati.
Oh, I'm gonna listen like anything.
Okay. Thank you.
You stay well, you have a happy, healthy new year.
Thank
you.
And
you just be this wonderful good father and person that you are.
What a nice thing to say. Thank you very much, Laura.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye bye. You have a happy new year too. Why don't we do that now? I'll give you the number on the air. Mike, because it doesn't matter. Anybody else who wants to call can do that. If they want to call Cincinnati, they can put their own money on the line. But we'll call, and so we'll save you the money. It's 513 is the area code to Cincinnati, and 749-1027. 749-1027. That's the guy who wants to tell Madonna, who's afraid of her biological clock. I'm sure we'll get an answering machine. He wants to help her have a baby. Put an ad in the Village Voice.
Hi, this is Eddie. I'm not here right now. Madonna, if it's you, leave your name and number. I'll get back to you. I know you're desperate.
I'm one step closer to her. I'll break your nose. Thank you very much. Can we hang up now? I should have left our phone number there. Maybe Eddie would call. I don't think he'd call back anyway. That was pretty stupid message. He paid $3,000 to put that full page ad in the Village Voice. There's a picture of him. He sort of looks like Tom Arnold a little bit. See, this is on the newest edition, and it's on page 76 of the January 2nd issue of the Village Voice. And one of our news editors we were asking somebody to bring us a copy or to call in the phone number or something because we didn't have it. And one of our news guys did that. So we appreciate that very, very much. And I think I'll answer all the personal ads and just have a wild orgy this weekend. I don't think I'm up to it. Anyway, give us a call. The lines, again, are all open now, 254-1030. And then make the nights pass a little bit more pleasantly for you.
Oh, you do. You're not going to be able to be up here for one night, huh? For the New Year's Eve?
No, as a matter of fact, I'm glad you mentioned that. But I'll be in next New Year's Eve. That's Sunday night. I'll be doing a couple of talks on old-time radio at a church, the First Baptist Church in Beverly. The city of Beverly, Massachusetts, has its own first night. Now, you have a first night in Portsmouth, and
yes,
with
we
a lot
do.
Going on. Yeah, a lot of communities. That was all started in Boston, and it's really spread throughout the whole country. And it started last year in Beverly. They had their first night. Same kind of thing as I'm sure you have in Portsmouth, where you buy a badge.
Yeah,
for,
you buy a button, and you get to see so many things.
That's right, because you can go anywhere with the button.
Oh, yeah, about 150 things around.
No kidding. And Portsmouth's such a beautiful and a very, probably one of the most interesting cities around. Have you lived there long?
Oh, I've lived here for probably almost 50 years.
No kidding. Okay,
yes.
So you know the city probably better than most anybody.
Well, I enjoy it. I just wanted to tell you about the young people of today. As you say, we don't hear enough about the good things that they do. I am blind and have a cane and go out walking. And I stopped one day at a street corner to wait to listen to the traffic, which we have to do.
Hmm.
And the kids were just getting out from their middle school. And as I was getting ready to cross the street, one young man came up and he says, "Lady, can I help you go across the street?"
Hmm.
Well, at first was thinking, oh, I can manage myself. I'm trained in it. But then I thought, I'll let him do it. So I think it's good to see the young people care about the older ones and handicapped ones and help them. And we don't hear enough about this.
No, we really don't. We really don't. And I think, man, maybe this is some kind of a goody-two-shoes look at life or, you know, Pollyanna look. But I think most kids are pretty decent. You know, there's kids that have drugs and people ramble on about that. Yeah. I think when you get old, I think you become very crotchety, and you stop liking, especially you get to dislike younger people only because I think you're kind of jealous. You wish that you were young again, and you don't have the youth that they have.
Okay.
And so you try to compensate for that by saying, well, they're probably rotten. They're rotten kids anyway. I wouldn't want to be their age because they're, you know, that. I just don't think that's true. I think most of them are pretty decent.
And they are, too, and I think we have to mention it more often instead of criticizing. Probably 98% or 94% are good, young, decent people. We just hear about the bad ones.
No, that's true. That's true. They're the ones that make the news. You're okay. You sound like a nice lady yourself, Priscilla.
Thank you. And nice talking to you. Nice. I enjoy your talks and...
Well, I appreciate
that. The dumb birthday.
All that stuff. Hey, you're okay. Have a great... I hope the new year treats you very well.
Thank you. Well, same to you.
Thanks a lot, Priscilla.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Helen in Rainham. Hey, Helen.
Yes. Good evening or good morning, whichever it is.
Well, whatever it is, I hope it's a good day for you.
Thank you. I was talking to my sister, and she is suffering with the arthritis very badly. And I said to her, I would try to get the ingredient and the recipe for the grape juice and whatever it is to see if that would help her in any way, if someone could call in or if it's possible.
Yeah, now, was this something we talked about the other day?
Well, I don't know.
No, I see, but you've heard about some kind of a remedy for arthritis or something that would help people who are arthritic.
It's not really a remedy, but it would be a help, I think.
Something that would ease the pain of arthritis.
Yes.
And it contains grape juice and other stuff, and you're not sure about the other ingredients?
Some kind of pectin of some kind.
I've heard people mention that. I wish I could tell you right off, but I tell you what, we'll be around for the next 15 minutes on the air, and I have a feeling maybe somebody will call who understands what it is that you're looking for. I'm just going to give the phone number in case anybody knows. It's 617 is the area code to Boston, 254-1030. And tell me what it is you know about the stuff that you're looking for.
Well, it's just grape juice and this pectin, and it's supposed to take, it's a portion of this and a portion of that, I don't know. And it's going to be Welch's grape juice, they say. I know Bob Raleigh says it, but I never paid attention to it because I wasn't interested at the time. But she's called several times, and she says she can hardly walk. And I said, well, let me see if I can get it for you.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, Bob was talking about that.
Uh-huh.
I see. Now, if anybody knows, by all means, we would like them to call and mention that. I'm not aware of that. I'm just not aware of what the ingredients are or anything. But if you can just stay tuned for the next 10-12 minutes or something, we just may very well get some information from somebody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Have a good New Year.
You too, Helen. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, 254-1030, area code 617. A lot of the lines. Oh, is Tony on the line? Hi, Tony.
Hello.
Oh, my son of a gun, you just don't want to go to bed at all, do you?
Mm.
You know why that is? Because you're probably afraid of the dark.
You're right.
Yeah, I'd say, I'll close my eyes and it'll be dark and it'll be spooky and there'll be ghosts and goblins coming into the bedroom. Turn out your light. That's right. It's kind of funny. Tony comes with me on these radio talks, and you know more about radio, old-time radio that was around long before you were born than probably many people who lived through it.
I've learned from one of the masters, so.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, when you want to give it up, I plan on taking over. Maybe even before you're going to give it up. I'll push you out, baby.
I think maybe we can have a group of, there's no reason we both can't go out.
Yeah, but maybe I'll do the talk one day and you can sit behind the little board and produce. That'd be a change.
Okay, speaking of that, I started to mention this. And I know you had something else you were going to bring up, but I mentioned the a lot of people say, you know, when can we catch the talk? But a lot, as you know, because you come out with me a whole lot, we do it at kind of private little things where it's really not open to the public in general. Sometimes we'd be better off if it were. But
a few of the private ones, though, so, like the, I don't know, the non... We had that one in, what was it, Duxbury one time where people could pay a few bucks.
Oh, yeah, that's right, too.
To benefit the group there. Yeah, that publicized it.
Yeah, so. That was, I should have mentioned it more often than, that's right, it was at Duxbury High School. And we were there just looking so sweet and so smart out
there
on the stage.
On the big stage, that's right.
And this Sunday night, New Year's Eve, again, that's open to the public because it's the Beverly, City of Beverly first night. And we'll be doing the show a couple of times, 7 and 8 o'clock, two different shows, at the First Baptist Church. We were in Beverly last year, too, at another church that's very close by, both of them very close to downtown Beverly on Cabot Street. So anybody who wants to drop by, I'd love to see you.
How long are these shows?
This would be about 40 minutes
40
each.
Minute shows,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And now I'd like to tell you about Helen Trent. And
and romance over 35.
Yeah, get a woman, still find romance over 35. Anyway, do you have the ingredient the woman was looking for?
I have the recipe.
You're a nice person. I have my pencil poised, and I'm ready to copy with whatever you say.
Okay. A tablespoon of Certo.
Oh, C-E-R-T-O.
Mm-hmm. And 4 ounces of Welch's grape juice. It must be Welch's grape juice.
I wonder why that is. You think, Paul, it sounds like the beginning of a commercial. Why?
I
always thought all grape juices were the same. That's not true, my dear. Welch's grape, you know, anyway, 4 ounces of Welch's grape juice.
And a tablespoon of Certo, and you mix that up.
1 tablespoon Certo. I sound like Gus Saunders on that cooking show he does.
And you drink a glass a day for 2 weeks.
A glass a day for 2 weeks. Okay, so that's a tablespoon of Certo mixed with 4 ounces of Welch's grape juice, and that's the whole thing?
Yep.
That sounds like easy enough.
Glass a day for 2 weeks, and I guess it supposedly helps. A lot of people said it helps a lot.
Yeah. Okay, well, I hope it helps. Well, I'm glad, I really appreciate you calling because this woman was hanging in there to see if we could get an answer. You know, we got it much faster than I would have figured.
Yeah, I was doing some over my vacation, cleaning out some stuff, and going through the files. I want to sound official.
Yeah.
And I came across the recipe. I says, oh, yeah, at least I know what that is now. So I knew exactly where to go when I heard the woman call.
It's kind of
a start a couple of days ago in the files.
You're probably older than you pretend that you are, because you know about the old-time radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know about the
arthritic recipes.
Arthritic recipes. For a guy who pretends to be still in his 20s, I can't understand why you would know all this. You probably get
into... hope I remember it as I get even older than I am now.
That's right. I have a feeling you probably get into movies as a senior citizen. America's youngest looking senior citizen, Tony Nesbitt, ladies and gentlemen.
And that's right. I'll be in the middle of Copley Square doing my countdown. Dick Clark is in New York. I'll be in Copley Square doing my countdown.
And we just duck out of the way because we're going to drop something right down
there. That's right. I'm 95, actually.
Okay. Hey, Tony, thanks a million. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome, Norm. I'll see you tomorrow night.
Okay.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Night.
He's beyond compare and so debonair. He shines so bright. Here on BZ, 103, oh, please. Don't turn that dial. He makes me cry. Lord, make me show. Lord, make me show. Lord, make me show.
This is the Norm Nathan Show, and I'm just as pleased as punch to be Norm Nathan. A lot of times I'm ashamed to be me, if the truth were to be known. And the truth is known, I just told you. But tonight, I don't know, I'm proud to be me. Anyway, we're going to be here through the night, and I hope we are a comfort to you. Thank you. Just so darn much. about 8 minutes after midnight. It is 22 degrees. It's not a bad night. I think a little later on we may be talking with a woman named Jamie Bernard, who's written a book called Total Exposure, The Movie Buff's Guide to Celebrity Nude Scenes. Have you noticed Mike Epstein, I'm talking out to not only a top producer here at WBZ, but a top newsroom kind of person.
Oh, thank you very much.
Because I know that you augment the excellent news coverage that we have here at the station. You notice there's a lot of... Do you think there's a lot more nudity and all that kind of stuff in movies and stuff?
Or... Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I don't think there's any question that there is. And people say, oh, I can't stand it's disgusting, all this nudity. But yet people go to these movies and they watch the television shows, and as much as people don't seem to like it, from a moral point of view, people still buy the product being the film or the TV show.
Yeah, well we're kind of, I probably get some nasty letters. No, I shouldn't say that. I don't care whether, I don't really get too many nasty letters. Most letters I get really are very nice and very understanding. But what? What was I leading up to?
I think it was something in defense of...
I think in this book, this is a book called Total Exposure. This is Jamie Bernard who wrote the book. And I hope we'll be on with us a little bit later on. But she quotes some of the actors and actresses as pointing out that in Europe, nudity and sex, all that kind of stuff, is not a big deal. And why it's a big deal here, I don't know. And my saying that, I know I'm going to get letters from people saying, a guy of your age talking like that is really sinful. It's so awful. But, I mean, it's the human body. Why are we so ashamed of it? I don't quite understand that. Why must we hide it? Why must we hide sexual acts and that kind of... We don't have to gloat about it and make a big deal. But it's not a terrible, terrible thing.
And it's interesting that you mentioned the European perspective on that, because you're right. Over in Europe, they definitely seem to be a lot more... accepting of the human body as both an art form and as something that you see on television, even during prime time. And here in the States, I think that we've got kind of a puritanical tradition that goes back to the days of the Mayflower and George Washington and all that. And I'm not saying whether it's good or bad.
Not George Washington. George Washington himself was a lecherous man.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, I just made... George Washington, that kind of thing. And we do have that tradition here in this country. But anyway, maybe we'll get Jamie on a little bit and talk with her about the book. But interesting examples of how the movies really haven't... Well, they've changed in a sense. We've become more graphic about certain kinds of things. But it's always been that. It's almost always been that way. And if people didn't want it to be that way, they wouldn't make it that way. They weren't only doing it. They're making a profit and trying to make some money. So
exactly.
What? But aside from that, I have no really strong pronouncements about anything. I hate when I follow David Brudnoy not to come on with really strong pronouncements about things. Because he does a lot of strong pronouncements.
Yes.
Although I had the psychic was kind of, that kind of surprised me. I never thought he'd have a psychic on. Because that's kind of as fictional as some of his talks about the Libertarian Party. I thought maybe it's kind of in the same groove.
Yeah, well, David's also, besides just the hard politics, he's also had... some authors dealing with television and movies, more of the entertainment thing.
That's
some of our other broadcasters have gotten into. I'm sorry, I've got a bit of a cold. If it sounds like I do, I certainly do.
It's perfectly all right. I'm sorry for you, but no, we don't object to that. No, I don't know. I know he has lighter programs. He has Morgan White on, and they do trivia and television and broadcasting and all that kind of stuff. No, that's kind of nice. But I thought the psychic just seemed kind of out of line with him, because I suppose there are people who believe in psychics. They're all over television. How a person can predict what's going to happen in the future, always, I'm just amazed at that. Can you sit down and join us, too? We're having a discussion on all kinds of stuff, Tony Nesbitt.
Yeah?
Yeah, now, psychics.
Yes.
I don't mean to step on anybody's toes. Although, if I do, I don't mind that either.
And, of course, if you were about to, they'd see it coming and get out of the way.
I never thought of it quite in that manner, yeah. But for somebody to be able to predict something that is going to happen makes absolutely no sense to me at all. Absolutely no sense. And somebody who calls up and says, you know, I was born January 6, 1958 or something. Am I going to get a good job? Am I going to marry that hunk?
And will life be sweetened? How anybody can answer that just with a little flash on the air? I just don't believe that.
Well, I
just wanted to get on the air so I could say that.
I think a lot of people that may believe in this go back to, who was it, Gene Dixon's prediction back in 63 that the president should not go to Dallas?
Every now and then a psychic does, you know, something that turns out to be accurate. But if you take all the predictions, I wonder what the percentage would be.
One of them was about an earthquake in San Francisco.
I heard that.
I mean, she had a specific date.
January 23rd, I believe.
But it's kind of, you know.
And it was going to be a 5.
Snow in Boston during the winter.
It'll be a 5.2.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those deals.
And it'll be in a heavily residential area and that kind of stuff. Anyway, I don't mean to pick on David. God knows he can protect himself in whatever manner he wants to. But I just thought, you know, having a psychic on, as I mentioned, I thought was kind of the same kind of fantasy life that he must live when he's talking about the Libertarian Party. It sort of goes hand in hand. Why does he not come back on the air and say nasty things about me? That really bothers me a lot.
Because he's a gentleman.
thanks a whole lot. Thank you.
Well, he does dedicate the Libertarian panel to you every time.
He dedicates his whole life to the Libertarians, and he admits they have no chance of ever winning anything. Anyway, let's forget about that. You want to talk to John in Dorchester?
Why not?
Oh, all right.
Okay. John, everybody's excited about talking to you. Did you get kind of the enthusiasm? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. There you are, John.
Well, Norm, I think if you remember back to last May, you were our guest at our parliamentarian meeting.
Yes, I was. That's right. Now, are you the president of that group?
I am the president.
Oh, tell me your whole name and the name of the group.
John Dugan and the New England chapter of the American Institute of Parliamentarians.
That's right.
We're normal people. We're normal.
No, I know you are, and I enjoyed meeting you all. We met up in, was it Lexington?
That's right, at the Sheridan Lexington.
It was a nice group of people. No, I enjoyed being with you. And as moderator of the town of Middleton, my own, I'm a parliamentarian too in that sense. No, I enjoyed you a lot.
Well, it's a bit belated, but particularly to your listeners and particularly to your lady listeners, you were just as fantastic as you are on the radio, and our ladies still haven't calmed down from meeting you. They're still showing their pictures with you to each other. And
they're selling them for big bucks.
they're still very, very excited over the fact they met you, and as one of our members said, that we can never top this. We had the best meeting in having you, and it's never going to get any better.
You're really sucking up to me.
No, that was the ladies. I mean, I was waiting to find out if you got overruled at the next town meeting. Remember, you said you had made a ruling.
Oh, yeah, no, I won't get into the parliamentarian aspect because I think most people don't really much care about that, who are not in the field. No, I was talking about a motion to reconsider an earlier motion and stuff. Anyway, it gets a little technical and most people don't care. But I do run into trouble with that when somebody says, I move to reconsider and I say, I don't think we should do that right now. We'll see you later. And there's usually an uproar. But, I mean, you have to stick with your beliefs.
But, and then when you spoke on your different aspects on the radios and that, I've not had anyone there who hasn't subsequently gone on to totally praise the entire meeting.
Oh, thank you very much. When was that meeting? You must be having another meeting soon then.
That was last May.
Next May is the next
meeting. But you may not have been aware, although we intimated that, your friend Joe DiStasio, because I think you knew his brother and sister, he went on to be elected our national president.
Oh, really? I didn't realize this was a national organization.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he became the national president.
No, it was great to see you and all the rest, especially there was a very attractive lady sitting just to the left of me.
Oh, we certainly remember that. And she is, and she's one of our best members. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of ladies, June and Madeline and others, that they still haven't calmed down.
Oh, would you stop? Would you stop? Of course they've calmed down.
Were you scooping up on the babes normally with it?
Well, I mean, if you got to go to a meeting.
Unbelievable. This was unbelievable.
I was shameless. I was shameless.
Yeah.
If you're going to go to a meeting, you're going to talk, especially when you're not charging anything. The least you can do is kind of come on to the women.
Sure.
Otherwise, what's the point of even going?
Exactly.
And even, you know, I'll get letters like that. You're 70 years old. Why don't you grow up? Isn't it about time for you to step back from that going on to ladies at 70 years old? What's the matter with you, you old poop?
You said on the show that age makes no difference.
No, I think it makes no difference to me, but it may make difference to
other
people.
It didn't make any difference to them.
Okay. Okay. Don't be condescending now. I only ask you that. No, you're a nice man, and I enjoyed the group very much.
Well, we enjoyed very much. It was an honor to have you, and I think, as many of your listeners say, we look forward to listening to you, and you have a great show, and you're just as great in person as you are on the air. And if you're on seven nights a week, you have a lot of happy people.
Oh, thanks a lot, John, but you're out of order.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll appeal the decision of the chair.
I second that motion.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate your kind words. You're very,
welcome.
Very nice. Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
How much you pay him?
I paid him, let me see, when I checked my files, yeah. I paid him about $3.42.
That's why
he wasn't all that great. If I paid him more, he probably would have kept going even more than that. Okay, our phone number is 254-1030. Our area code is 617. I thought this is the last weekend, of course, in this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, as a result, we'd be kind of more casual and... I don't know how we can be more casual than I already am. If I'm more casual, I'll just lie back and die on the air. But love to talk with you, and just maybe we can talk about each other, what you think is coming up in the year 96.
And maybe the guest will call in at some point. We're here all night.
Yeah, maybe. Jamie Bernard wrote this interesting book, is what we're talking about, called Total Exposure. Doesn't seem to be. We're not able to locate her at the moment, but we'll get her on before the night is out. That'll be good. And, of course, at right after 3 o'clock in the morning, we'll be playing the Dumb Birthday Game. If you'd like to take part in that, you might call Ed LeClaire at the same number. Or just a call us, 617-254-1030. The idea is just to kind of relax and have a little fun. That's the way I look at life. I think life is to relax and have fun. Oh, sure, there's some tension. Why don't I shut up? I'm radio with excerpts, excerpts of old radio shows, and kind of, and I'll ask the questions like, what was the Shadow's real name?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the name of the woman described as his constant companion? And we'll play theme songs of shows and what, you know, all that kind of stuff. So come by and see us 7 and 9, but come by earlier. I think the whole thing starts around 2 in the afternoon, and around 6 at night in Beverly, they have the big parade with a lot of people taking part in that. And I think the badge costs like $8, and you can go to a million things. You can't get anything cheaper than that.
That's like the first night here in Boston. You just get a badge and can get into everything for a very minimal fee.
And I really respect a lot of the other communities who are doing the same thing, because it makes the New Year's Eve and welcoming in the New Year something very, very special. Lines are open. It's a very quiet night. Somebody else at the old WMEX days.
I was the singing cowboy.
You were the singing cowboy. Came all the way west at the time from Wellesley at the time.
That's
I think.
Right. Now you got it.
Yeah. Now you live in a town nearby that which sounds more country.
Weston.
Yeah, Weston sounds more like a cowboy town.
I've been here, Norm. You won't believe it. 39 years.
You say 39.
I said 39, Jack.
30, well, gee, wow.
You know, I caught your show the other night. I was just thrilled to hear Nat on the show.
Oh, you heard Nat Hentoff, yeah? That was kind of fun.
I did. I was coming home from some gig, and I said, God, that's Nat Hentoff, or I'm not Doug Yarn.
No, those were the days. I must explain to people, we all worked at WMAX at the time, and I mentioned when I was talking to Nat that it was the worst run station ever in the history of broadcasting. It really was.
Sure, it was.
The people who ran it had no interest, had no knowledge of broadcasting at all.
The Potes,
that's right. Al Pote, especially, was the general manager, and he had more fun sitting on the floor in his office sharpening pencils so he could sell to people who kept score at the Red Sox games, and we were located right near Fenway Park.
Sure.
And he thought he'd make a killing selling these little pencils to people keeping score. Anyway, all that kind of stuff. But running the station with any kind of creative ability was totally beyond
it was
him.
Funny. It was funny with Joe Grant, Hank Elliott, you, and Jay McMasters, and John Kiley on the organ.
That's right. That's right. We had a program, and Nat Hentoff and I, Nat who did jazz show at the time, we were both, when we started, he was 19.
Yeah.
And when I joined the station...
We were all young.
We were all young. So I was 18.
Yeah, and I was in high school.
You're younger than either one of us.
Yeah.
And anyway, he would do a jazz show, and I had never known what jazz was or anything, but listening to his show and everything like that, and seeing these spooky people that came up to see the show, they'd come up and look into the studio, and I think, boy, these are spooky people. These are what weird music this jazz must be. So I'd begin listening to it as an arrogant 18-year-old to show how I knew about classical music, and I could really put this music down. Anyway, that was my big mistake. The more I listened to it, the more I got hooked on it, and I just absolutely adored it.
I know.
And so I got interested. We talked about that, and cowboy music, not so much the live stuff like you did.
Yeah.
But we did a thing called Summerfield's Roundup Time.
Oh, yes.
Remember that?
Yes, of course I remember it.
Yeah, sponsored by Summerfield Furniture Company. I think they're still in business, are they?
Well, actually, yeah, they are. Actually, you know, Norm, WMEX, Jay McMasters, we started the first Boston Barn Dance.
Oh, that was a live show with a lot of local live
that
talent. That's
Mechanics
right.
Hall. That was at Mechanics Hall long before Nelson Bragg and we went over to WCOP with the Hayloft Jamboree, but WMEX really started that stuff off.
I didn't know that you did that, you know, in a public place. I thought it was just out of the... I know you did... It was Wednesday night thing in the studio.
Yeah, we did that, but we also rented Mechanics Hall, old Mechanics Hall, and it was unbelievable. But I was surprised and really taken back when Nat was mentioning Merle Haggard and all the country. Now, Matt, I think Nat's going in a little bit for country music.
No, he really is. He really is. He's becoming very, very much steeped in that.
He is.
Yeah, and I, as we talk, I can understand that. I listen to country performers now, and a lot of it sounds, in a sense, like jazz to me too, because they improvise more than, say, a straight ballad singer.
Yeah.
Or anyway, but he's talking about the cowboy band group.
Well, he was talking about Bob Wills in Texas, and of course we used to play all the Bob Wills tunes because he was an old timer from Texas anyway, you know, but Nat's really into Merle Haggard and Bob Wills, and I'm surprised he hasn't done any of the Sons of the Pioneers, but he probably will.
Now, he very well might. Yeah, he's just beginning to write about that. I think this is the first book that he's put out that includes his comments on country singers and musicians.
And another thing I wanted to tell you, you know, when I, September, when, you know, I was inducted in the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And you had told me, you said, gee, if I'd known that, Doug, I would have come down and done the presentation. But I didn't know it until a couple of days before it happened. I was down at Martha's Vineyard, and they got a hold of my daughter. But if I'd have known, you would have come.
Oh, absolutely would have come. You know, when you think of how long we've known each other, and the era we're talking of, we're talking the mid late 40s, early 50s.
Yep.
What is that? We're 50 years ago.
You're talking 50
almost
years.
50 years ago. Yeah.
Right. 50 years ago, my father came from Ireland. And devil him at his.
I very often kid about the country and Western performers like, you know, like Doug Garrett, who came from far western, the far western part of the United States, like Wellesley.
Yeah.
And we had a group, despite the others did it, not for tax purposes, but just to make themselves sound a little more authentic in the kind of stuff that they were doing.
Well, you're in the business enough to know that during World War II, we made a few bootleg records. You remember the Ace Recording Company?
I sure do. Milt Yockas is crazy.
Milty and Herbie are both dead.
Oh, is Herbie dead, too?
I think so. Well, anyway, Milty ran...
Well, he better be after we talked with him.
Yeah, he better be. But Milt ran the company, and he'd call me up, and he'd say, Doug, will you come in and do 12 songs for us? And they would sell them at Jordan Marsh. Well, I went under the name of Wayne somebody or other. I forget what it was. And to this day, and I'll play it for you some night, I have a record of a song in World War II called Dear John.
I remember that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
By a very famous singer who sang the song, and I did the narration on it in Boston. And let's see.
What was the? See if I'm thinking of the right song. If I'm not, I know you'll know the song I'm talking about. But the punchline was, I know because I was that little soldier boy.
No, that was a deck of cards.
Oh, that was a deck of cards.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But this one was. And I wed your brother Don. The guy was overseas, and he got this letter, the Dear John letter, see?
Yeah, I recall that.
And now the girl's name, and I know you know her very well, and she would just flip a candle if she ever knew that I have the recording of it, Sue Bennett.
Oh, yeah, sure. I've known Sue since about as long as I've known you, yeah.
And she's a great singer.
Yes, she is. I did a thing with her down at Massasoit College.
Did you?
In Brockton, only, I know, it wasn't two, 3 months ago.
No kidding.
Yeah.
God, I'd love to see her again. We're very young.
She looks great. She looks great. She sang with Kay Kaiser.
Yes.
And on a TV show. and the male vocalist was Mike Douglas. Not the actor, Mike, but the guy used to be the TV host.
Sure, yeah. But anyway, Sue did a great job on this, and we had a 16-piece band, me with the guitar, and Sue singing a 16-piece band with all the guys that Milt could pick up and Herbie, you know, playing on it, and it really is great.
And probably never paid them. I know, Milt.
Well, he paid me.
Okay.
I think it was $35 a session.
You know what he did also on that station, WMEX? This was just before I got there, so I wasn't there at this particular time, but he had a show. They had a show that used to go on, I think, around midnight called Devil's Henchman. He would write it, and it would be, you know, a mystery kind of spooky program.
Yeah.
And very often there'd be an actor who came in to play one of the parts, somebody who was appearing in Boston in one of the theaters.
Sure.
During a time when all the theaters were lit up and had, you know, everything was going on in the theater.
Yeah.
Was really very much alive. Anyway, he would write the script, and he'd have a kind of a repertory company doing the other parts.
Yeah.
And while the actors were doing, like, the second page, he'd be writing the eighth page, and nobody ever knew how the thing was going to come out. It was this crazy Milt Yockas with his hair.
He reminded
me a little of. He was shorter and heavier, but he looked a little like Kramer.
Yes.
On the, what is that show, the Jerry...
Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld
yes,
show.
Yes, you're right, yeah. Oh, God, he was crazy. Herbie was, you know, a musician himself.
But he would sit there and sort of look down at the floor like he was meditating. He never said much, but he...
No, he never said much, but, God, Milt was crazy. I did many a party for him and everything else, you know, and of course, he knew every foul word in the business, you know, but it was, then I did some more recordings for Unitone, another phony thing during World War II. This man had, he was right in Boston Music Company then, he had these poor old ladies that wrote songs, you know, and he'd advertise, he would put them, and I was on the radio at the time on COP, and he'd say, Doug, would you come in and record this song for me? He says, this lady wrote it, she loves it. My God, I'm telling you, the songs was, The Maiden's Weep was one of them, to the tune of Down in the Valley.
Oh, yeah.
The poor old lady must have paid him $1,500. And I sang it once on WCOP, and they wanted to fire me the next day. Right.
Well, you would have worked with Nelson Bragg over COP.
Oh, Nelson Bragg was my announcer, sure.
Yeah, he was my first radio broadcast teacher.
Was he?
I mean, before he got into radio, he was teaching at the Leland Powers School of Broadcasting.
Yeah, yeah.
It was it wasn't even the school of television, because there was no television at that time. And this long, skinny kid, because he was not a whole lot older than the rest of us.
No, that's right.
Yeah, he was on WBZ at the time, and we were like right here.
Yeah.
And he was known as the mayor of Milo, Maine.
Mayor of Milo, Maine, that's it.
That's right, he had all that accent there, sure.
And it came real, too, because he was born up in Maine.
No, that's right. When he tried to eliminate the accent, it still seeped through. You can still hear that Maine accent, even when he didn't want it to be there.
You know, we used to play cards every Friday night. There was Leo Egan, Nelson Bragg, Jack Chase, and a bunch of us. We'd go down to Nelson's house there in Egypt he lived in. You know where Egypt is?
I know it's south of Boston. Down in northeastern, or is it to Plymouth or Brockton?
We used to tell people we were going to Egypt to play cards, and they thought we were all wealthy, you know.
Yeah.
My God, that's a long way to go to play cards.
No, it's an area. It's not a city, I don't think, is it?
No, it isn't.
Our town. It's a section
of a town.
Yeah, it's a section of someplace southeast of Boston.
Yeah. But that's where Nelson hung out, and I'm telling you, he was crazy, too.
he was
a hot rock, that Nelson Bragg. But he went with us in the Hayloft Jamboree and was the MC, and he used to do our show. That we were sponsored by Beacon Wax on COP at the time.
Beacon Wax, whatever happened to Beacon Wax? I don't think it exists anymore, does it?
Yes, it does.
It does?
Yeah.
Ooh, I said the wrong thing.
Yeah, we were the only Western show sponsored on a Boston station by Beacon Wax. Isn't that something?
I think that's something sensational.
Yeah, well, it was for us in those days.
I think so.
I just wanted to tell you, I got a kick out of it. And don't forget to say hello to that dear old lady down in Virginia that loves you. Her sister, daughter lives up here in Weston.
You know her name?
Yeah, I do, but I can't think of it right now. But just think of, isn't that awful?
That's really terrible.
Well, too. That just goes to show you, Norm, we're all getting there.
Yeah, but you know, when I was even 14 or 18 years old, I couldn't remember nothing then either. Now that I'm an older person, I can blame it on my age.
Well,
but I don't know that age has much to do with it. I never had much of a memory.
Sometimes you can't remember. I can't remember where I put my glasses half the time. And you know, you can't drink without your glasses, you know.
Oh, you can't do that, sure.
Well,
listen,
kid, much as your dear wife and I loved each other, and we worked together for years from Martha's Vineyard, I was her news scooper down there.
I miss her,
and I know you do, too.
Yes, I sure do, yeah.
We had a lot of good times together, kid, and Nat Hentoff wasn't as good an announcer as you were.
But he was a lot brighter.
I wouldn't say that. In some ways, he might have been. But next time he's in town, we ought to grab him.
I think that was nice. You know, I was a little skeptical about talking to him the other night. I can say that on the air now, because I haven't really talked to him.
I know.
For a long time. He was on one of the programs when one of my daughters put together this anniversary show.
Yeah.
And she got everybody in the world to come on. And he was on, and he sounded like he'd rather have not been on.
Yeah.
But I think he still thinks of me as that 19-year-old stupid kid out of Chelsea.
Yeah, but
So when he came on the other night, I thought, I think we're going to have some problems. But we began talking, and he loosened up nicely.
You know what it is? It's that cowboy instinct that's coming out in him, a friendly guy, you know?
Well, that's right. Now he's got interested in Merle Haggard and Bob Wills, all those folks.
That'll do it. It's as cute as a speckled pup under a wagon.
Hey, Doug, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Hey, have a happy new year if you can, and I'll talk to you after the first of the year.
That's lovely. I hope 96 turns out to be a great year for you and your
family,
Doug.
Well, I hope so, too. So long as we're healthy and we can still talk, we don't mind.
That's the idea.
No, I'm great talking to you, buddy.
Thanks for calling, Doug.
See you later.
Bye-bye now. I will be giving a couple of talks. At kinds that I've given, I guess, for several years now, with little tape excerpts of the highlights of old radio shows, just to kind of reminisce about the golden days of radio. And I mentioned we'd be asking questions of people, and the fact that people probably, most of us, remember things that happened many years ago easier than we remember things that happened last week.
Very recently.
And I used as an example the shadow. What was his real name? And Lamont Cranston obviously was it. Not his real name, but the name of the character in the radio show. And also, okay, the other one I asked, now, this was just, it wasn't a quiz, but just the kind of thing that I would ask at a public talk. The other was the name of the woman described as the shadow's constant companion. Do you remember her name?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, very similar to the Superman's a friend.
Lois Lane.
Lois Lane, and this her name was Margot Lane.
Ah.
And I very often, it always struck me funny as that description of the Lamont Cranston's constant companion. You know, back in those days, our lives seemed to be so much more innocent than now. Now, if you say somebody's constant companion, you think, what does that mean exactly? Did they live together in sin, or what was going on at the time?
That's such a delightful way to put it, as a constant companion.
Your constant companion. Anyway, we never thought much about it beyond that. And so, anyway, so that's why I brought it up, just as kind of examples of the kind of things that we'll be doing in Beverly this week.
Uh-huh. Well, my dad lives in Beverly, so... perhaps I'll have a chance to appreciate.
Well, if he comes by, we do. I keep promoting it because it's put on by the city of Beverly, mm-hmm. and it's not a private commercial enterprise kind of thing. But and we'll be at the First Baptist Church, which is on Cabot Street, right in the downtown section of Beverly.
Right near him, because he played in a band for 40 years.
Really?
Yeah, he played sax and clarinet.
No kidding.
For 40 years.
What? Now, what bands would he?
It was Tony Brown's band.
Yeah, no, I know that name. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, they played quite a bit all over the place, and he's still in Beverly. He's 84 years old, and. He'll get around, so perhaps he'll come and see you.
Too. Oh, that would be nice if he could. Now, does any of that musical heritage wipe off on you, or rub off on you, I think is a better way to phrase it.
Rub off on me. A little bit. I had the opportunity when I was in grammar school of being one of the first participants in the Boston Youth Children's Symphony Orchestra.
No kidding.
Yeah, under Harry L. Stixon, I played first violin. Mm-hmm.
Now, what did you play?
First violin.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Isn't that son of a gun? Because I played violin when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
I was not very good at it, but you obviously were really good because you made it to the big time.
Well, I don't know. It was the very beginning, and I think I just got very lucky, and it was a wonderful opportunity. And
do you still have a violin? Do you play it all?
No, I don't. I don't. But every time I go in an antique store, I look at them.
because I still have the violin, and it had cracked. And so I brought it to a place to be fixed, and it has been fixed. And every now and then I pick it up and I play it a little bit. And it's kind of interesting, when you're out of practice, the fingers don't move like they used to. You know, I mean, I don't know, maybe they never get as agile as they were when you were young. But you know the notes and you know what you're supposed to do, but
right.
Physically you're not capable of doing them.
Especially if you listen to somebody like Papa John Creech or someone.
Oh,
they really never do get there.
Yeah, I know it. I know it.
I'll let you get on to your next call.
Oh, well, you're a delightful lady, Kathy, and I really appreciate talking
with
you.
Thank you. It was delightful to talk to you, too.
Have a happy new year, and say hello to Lucille for me.
You, too.
Okay, take care, dear.
Bye-bye.
Okay, 254-1030, area code 617. That's kind of nice.
Yes, holiday functions are giving motorists a run for their money. 128, 495, the Mass Pike, light to moderate volume. The expressway northbound and southbound, lower deck of Route 93, Tobin Bridge heading into the city, all doing well at this point. Watch out for the other motorist. And after today's slight melt on area roads, you may find a little bit of iciness to watch out for. I'm Jack Hart, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network. With approved John Deere credit, you can get most lawn and garden equipment for only $96 down at Padula Brothers Incorporated in Lunenburg. Hurry in. Sail in soon.
Thank you. You're just coming from your gig over at Ken's Steakhouse, I would guess.
Yes.
I lose track of days. This is Friday. That's right, Friday night. And you brought your mom with you.
I sure did.
Who looks just like you. Your name is... Come a little closer. Just say if you sound like your daughter. Okay.
Hello, I'm Irene.
Isn't that sweet? Oh, she's so sweet.
She said, I'm not talking on the radio, no matter what.
Did she say that?
Sort of.
Oh, yeah. No, but because you both look very, very much alike. Your daughter has done some great themes for us. people very often will call and they'll start singing some of the words, or they'll recite some of the words, you know. Hi, Norm, you lift us up. I forget how that goes.
When we feel so down lousy.
Down, yeah, when we're all down on that kind of stuff. So, no, the stuff is really great. I really appreciate that, and a lot of people get a big kick out of that. You're okay. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
I love you, Norm.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I have a funny story.
Okay.
Well, I haven't called you in a while, so I decided to call you since it's vacation. You know, I really have nothing to do, so...
Okay. Now, Jim, before you tell me the story, at 16, let me see, I'm trying to think of what life is like at 16 on New Year's Eve. Do you go to parties or anything?
Well, we usually go to the hat show and just hang out. Some of my friends drink, some don't. I don't, so... We just hang out. It's like a hangout day.
Yeah.
So
okay,
nice.
Okay. The half show. Is that the one in Copley Square?
Mm-hmm. Down by the waterfront where all the yachts are.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
So.
And is it fun? Do you kind of whoopee up and put funny hats on or anything? Or just
We all just kind of go out and have dinner before, you know, just go and watch fireworks.
Okay, these are just with your girlfriends. You don't go with guys?
Yeah, it's girls and guys.
Oh, girls and guys. Okay, that's nice. And then at midnight, you know, kiss and everything like that.
Yeah, same tower routine.
Okay, nothing much has changed in the past 16 years. I think that's nice. Anyway, tell me the story you're going
to
tell.
All right. I go to this program called Youth Voice Collaborative. And my director is Rachel Berg. So we had to do this project. I'm plugging my program. We had to do this project that involved the library. I don't know if you ever gone to the library to look up stuff in newspapers.
Oh, sure. You mean in the Boston Public Library?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I love that place with all the old newspapers and things on microfilm.
That's what I'm getting to.
Oh, yeah. No, I've gone there a whole lot of times. It's a fascinating place.
So we're doing a study from September to now on something in the newspaper. So they had October through now, but we had to get September on microfilm. So lucky me, I get September. So I go to the microfilm department. I've never seen this machine in my life. It's like a 1920 machine. I've never seen it.
No, they never had those machines in 1920, I can tell you. But I know what you're saying.
And it was so old. So I go and get it, and her brother is with me. So I start loading the machine. I almost break it. I break a nail, and it's just hectic. But I finally get it going. It's all right, and everybody's coming over helping me. I'm having a panic attack. It was just such a horrible scene. It was just horrible. I mean, it was crazy.
Would you feel more comfortable running the machines now? Then now you sound like you maybe have perfected the operation of all of this.
I still can't get the film on the reel right.
Yeah, because that's incredibly valuable. They have newspapers that I'm not quite sure how far they go back, but I remember looking up stuff that I wanted to know about that happened in the 40s. And I would dig out old copies of the old record, the Boston Daily Record, the Boston Daily American, papers that don't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The Boston Herald. Well, there is a Herald now, but this was a different one back then on the Traveler. And we used to have a paper called the Boston Transcript, which went out of business about 1941. This was kind of a highbrow newspaper for people who lived up in the Back Bay and up on Beacon Hill mostly bought that one. But it's fascinating because as you look at the pages, it's like all those years haven't even passed, you know, because you're looking at a newspaper and it looks like you're looking at today's news, especially the ads and the entertainment sections and the movies. Did you look through that kind of that part of it, too?
Mm-hmm. And it's so weird because while we were doing this media evaluation thing, when you go through the newspapers, the Sunday newspapers, they have every section, like the TV guide was in there. I went to my birthday.
Okay, because you didn't go too far back then.
No, I mean, once a newspaper, I think, is 2 months behind, then they put it on microfilm. They don't have it anymore. So September wasn't, but October, November, December were.
Okay. Well, because I was thinking when I checked the old newspapers, I mean, I was going back 50, 60 years, you know, because they have those newspapers that do go back that far. A few months ago, that doesn't seem to be quite as much fun. What were you looking up exactly?
Oh, we're doing this project to see, at the place where I go to, well, IBC, Youth Voice Collaborative, we're doing this project to see, compare the Globe and the Herald how many times teens appear on the cover of newspapers, how many times they don't. Like, what I had to do is I had to look at the front page of Monday through Friday and see how many times a youth or a teen's picture got on or an article about the teen. And, you know, we were just writing down some information, and we're going to do this, like, big study on it and see. Well, it was real hard. It was so tedious because you can't go past the first page. You just have to go with the information that they give you.
Mm.
So it was real tedious. It was hard. But, I mean, it's really different because the Herald is a tabloid kind of paper.
Yeah.
So when her brother did that reel, it was like, it was a long, one big reel. But mine had like four different separate things for each week. I've never seen a microfilm machine before in my life. So I was like totally dumbfounded, and the lady was getting aggravated. It was, I mean,
The lady who worked at the library was getting upset with you guys?
Because it was a whole line of people, and she gave me my film, and she said, is there anything you need? I was like, no, I thought it was like discs that you stick in. And she came up and was like, I do not know how to do this. If you do not want me to break this, you will show me how to do this. So she showed me, and she told me don't go past, you know, the last two pages of the last day of the paper.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really nice because you could blow it up and shrink it, copy it, or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. You can print, reprint those things, too. That's right. Did you come to any conclusions, or are you going back?
Well, I think when we're done with it, Rachel, she works for Kid Company. Well, used to work for Kid Company. But we're going to, like...
The program here on WBZ.
Yeah, huh? why did they take it off the air?
Is that off the... No, that's not off the air.
It hasn't been on?
Oh, I see. No, it's because we have hockey games at that time, I'm told.
Oh, that's right.
And once the hockey season ends, then the Kid Company will be back again.
Because I don't want to give you too much information about the project, because when we're finished with it, I'll send you, like, the whole thing.
Okay,
so
I love that,
Melly. You can evaluate it and do whatever. But it's going to be real good, and it's all kids that are doing it. It's not adults. It's just teens looking at the paper.
Well, I think you're getting fantastic experience, and I'm delighted that you called to tell me about it, Millie, and I look forward to the finished product.
All right. We should be done, like, in a month or so, I'll send you the final product, and you can read it or whatever.
I would love to read it. Thanks, Millie.
All right, no problem.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Yeah, take care. Bye-bye
now. All right, bye-bye.
That's kind of cute. Does that bring you back to days of your youth? Ziggy, and who's been on radio, has been a night. Back in the 50s and 60s, I did a show called Sounds in the Night, which I just loved because I played jazz and all the kind of music I really adore. And that was nights. So I worked there about 12 years. And off and on, I think I've been on nights more than I've been on any other time of the day.
So you've been in broadcasting all your life, right?
Just about since I was 18, yes.
Yeah, so I'm just surprised that you're not this huge, humongous star, you know?
Linda was just saying your microphone wasn't on.
Oh, okay.
And Linda was saying, yes, he is.
Yeah, I'm just realizing that you're a lot more popular, because periodically I'm up late. And...
No, there are a lot of people never even heard my name, so you're not hurting my feelings when you say that. I'm well aware of that. I still have to spell my name to people when I'm trying to get a credit card or something.
Well, listen,
it kind of takes the wind out of your sails.
I got a joke for you.
Okay.
Why does Frosty the Snowman have a smile on his face every time it snows?
This is not a dirty joke, is it? Is it obscene?
Well, I don't think so.
Hold on a minute. I tell you what, I'm cueing Ed the Handler Claire, our producer. Be aware of the punchline, Ed, if you would, on this. Okay, Frosty the Snowman have a smile on his face every time it snows?
Hello?
Yes, no, I was just asking you. I was.
Oh, okay, so he doesn't think it's rude, right?
So he doesn't think it's rude?
No. the producer doesn't think it's rude.
Oh.
I just told him what the punchline was, and he put me back on the air. So.
Oh, what do you think? You think it'd be best not to do it?
Okay, that's fine. But hey, check this one out.
Okay.
Now, this isn't rude at all.
There are two stations. They had an AM station, which was WXKS, which was still, you know, Kiss AM, and they called it the music of your life at 1430. Is that the one you're talking about?
Right. And,
then there's the FM one is Kiss 108.
Kiss 108. Now, the Kiss 108 is known, as you probably know, all over the country.
No, that's one of the one of the key stations. Now, which one did you work at?
I worked, Norm, prior to KISS, Arnie Ginsberg coming in, WHIL.
Well, you worked at the AM station then.
Yes, and there was an HIL FM, which became a country music station. Am I confusing you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, HIL was the little station in Medford.
Yeah.
When Arnie came in, it became KISS, and then that was on the FM side, and then the other side was the HIL FM, which was just a small, good music station. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. I'm sort of sorting it out in my mind. But everything changes so quickly in radio, it's kind of hard to keep up with anything.
Oh, tell me about it.
I know. I've been in the business, almost since radio was invented. I once mentioned I was in radio 10 years before it was invented, and some woman called and said, and believe me, I don't know how she could have figured that, but... anyway, so I've seen the evolution of broadcasting and the different station call letters, how they've changed and the formats and all that, and I just lost track. I can't even figure it myself anymore. And if I figure I can't, being part of the business, I really don't understand how anybody can follow it. But maybe they're sharper than I am. I don't know.
Norm, what about the frequencies, which you always used to be able to equate with? Now you can't even keep track of that.
Well, no, you can't, because the stations keep changing their call letters and they get little funny names, and they, now we're playing, we're going to play Turkish music backwards, and that'll be we'll call ourselves Turkish 93 or something like that. And if that doesn't succeed after about 2 weeks, they change it to something else. So it's very hard to follow anything.
All right, listen.
Although the stations you're talking about have been pretty steady over the past several years. They're not the ones that kept changing format, but most other stations have, especially on the FM dial.
Do you remember the days, Norm, when you would not say, it would be incomprehensible to say hell or damn?
No, I said hell one time. I nearly got fired for that.
Well.
No, things have changed quite a lot. Yeah. That's true.
Okay,
and a guy
listen,
like
Mark,
Howard Stern
before
would
Before you shut me off and before... I say anything else, I just want to let you know that you are, at least in my mind, and obviously you would not be on BZ, which, if people don't know, serves close to 3 dozen states at night. What a great compliment that is to you.
Well, I'm appreciative of what you're saying, Bob, and I thank you. I just want to move along now, but I wish you a very happy New Year. Oh, you don't have a crooked smile anymore?
Well, everyone kept confusing me with you.
Oh, I see. Okay.
No, I'm a full-time student again.
Oh, I see. Now, where are you going?
UMass Lowell.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's a good school.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, so you're home, obviously, you're on vacation right now, but you go back, when is it, next week, right after New Year's?
I don't go back to the 17th.
Hey.
I can listen to...
Are you cutting up and doing wild stuff?
Yeah, I'm always doing that, but...
Okay.
I don't want to get into that right now. But
What are you majoring in at school?
Psychology and philosophy.
Hey, that's interesting. Great. What would you like to do?
Well, I want to go to grad school for education.
And you want to get into the educational line being a school psychologist or something like that?
Well, I want to just help people who... need help.
Well, that's a very noble pursuit.
Yeah, people who haven't been as lucky as I have with my family helping me out and stuff.
What a nice way to put it. You're okay, Craig.
Hey, I try. I
may adopt you just as a son, just because you're so nice. I'll check with your folks in the morning.
That's one question I had for you.
Okay.
Tonight is, I don't know if I want to call this a talent or not, but how do you keep up with all the generations? You know what I mean?
The toughest generation to keep up with are the ones that I find more difficult, actually, the ones of my own generation, because I find a lot of older people kind of live in the past at some point, and they don't really seem to be interested in what's happening today.
I'll pick up on that listening to you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of lucky. I'm in a kind of a field that we talk about today, and we broadcast the news of today,
and we care about movies and all that kind of stuff. I mean, if I were, a lot of people say, well, I like your program so much nostalgia. Well, we have a certain amount of that only because I've been around forever, so
right.
I know what things were like way back, and if you want to talk about that, I don't certainly don't object to it, but I kind of object to people who feel that the past was the only good time in their lives and today is rotten.
Right.
So keeping up is easy. I get to talk with you and a lot of young people, and I have two young daughters, you know, so I mean, right. I'm very much, and most of our producers, in fact, all of them are young guys and women.
Yeah, right.
And
that's what I think is funny about your show, is I think you keep each, say there's three generations between yourself and your youngest caller. I think that you keep all the generations linked. And it's not just in a patronizing way. I think it's real. That's what makes the show fun.
No, I think young people are kind of fun because they come up, even when they come up with cuckamamie ideas, they're new ideas and they're kind of fresh and they're not stuck in tradition the way things used to be. So, I mean, it's very easy for me. I just find that a great deal of fun. I just hope that I don't get to a point where I sit there like a lot of other people I know and say, these kids today, when we were kids, boy, we were something. And these kids, they're all a bunch of thieves and crooks. And
that's right, yeah.
You know, that's nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. And I think life is over for you when you get to that point. Oh. I think that people are fun. I think whatever age they are, and if they're older, that's okay. If they're sharp, and if I'm sorry, you know, so I'm rambling on.
That's exactly the point I wanted to get to is that you keep connected. And that connectedness is important because you make genuine connections with people. And both, I think you get it and the person that you give it to really gets it. And that's why you make that connection because I just got through reading a book. It's called The Way We Never Were.
I can just imagine what that's about.
And what it is the people reach back in the last time they had that connection that I'm talking about in their life. Yeah. That was the moment in their life.
I think, you know, I think what happens, too, is I think when you remember back, and there's nothing wrong, obviously, because you remember back, we all do, whatever age we are, but when you remember back to, I think you'd have a tendency to only remember the highlights and the good stuff, and you forget the bad stuff.
That's exactly what
it's talking about. And the older you get, the greater the good stuff seems to be, and it's almost like there were no bad things. So people keep talking to me about, the old good old days. Well, you know, during the 30s, I think there was like 25% unemployment during the Great Depression. It was an awful period in people's lives, and I remember it very clearly. I lived through that. And then the 40s, we had World War II. You didn't know whether your friends were going to come back from the wars. It was really a tough period. But somehow, I don't know, people forget that part of it, and I think what they remember mostly is being young and
selective memory.
Yeah, that's right. Being young is, you know, it's kind of nice. And I think the reason that many of them maybe dislike younger people and think that they were better at that age was namely because I think there's a great deal of jealousy involved because you guys have got something that we will never ever have, and that's youth. And so there's
wisdom.
You don't automatically get wisdom with age.
I know what you're saying. You don't get knowledge, but I think you get wisdom no matter what.
The early part of a Saturday morning commute, light to moderate volume starting to build on the expressway northbound and southbound. Lower deck of Route 93, Tobin Bridge heading into the city, just some light to moderate volume. After yesterday's slight thaw, we have seen roadways ice up once again in a number of spots, especially the secondary roadways. Drive with extreme caution. I'm Jack Hart, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network. With approved John Deere credit, you can get most lawn and garden equipment for only $96 down at Parley Getty Service Center in Braintree. Hurry in. Sale ends soon.
Congratulations to Pat Galuso of Melrose. Pat is the grand prize winner of the WBZ Dunkin' Donuts Win on Your Way to Work contest. And now Pat is on her way to Super Bowl 30. Have a great time and thanks to everyone who participated. From Dunkin' Donuts and WBZ News Radio 1030.
Parents and kids, enter the WBZ Post Serial Kid Announcer Contest. Two lucky kids will go behind the scenes of WBZ Sports Saturday and talk sports with host Dan Roach. Plus, each kid will win four Bruins tickets, a WBZ gift gift bag and a tour of the WBZ studios for their entire class.
To enter, send your name and address by January 5th to WBZ, care of Post Serial Kids, 1170 Soldiers Field Road, Boston, 02134. Winners must be between 8 and 15 years old. Complete rules available at WBZ from Post Serial and WBZ News Radio 1030.
Fly me down the pike, Route 95 becomes a breeze. BZ AM 1030 with a traffic on the 3.
For clear sailing throughout your morning commute, the choice is simple. WBZ traffic on the 3 every 10 minutes.
You're right, BZ, with BZ.
BZ News Radio 1030.
This is AccuWeather meteorologist Dave Bowers. It'll be partly cloudy and cold overnight, a low 24. Saturday, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, high 36 to 40. For Saturday night, patchy cloudiness, low 24 to 28. On Sunday, increasing cloudiness with a high 36. And then the outlook for New Year's Day, a mixture of snow and ice is possible with a high temperature 34. I'm WBZ AccuWeather meteorologist Dave Bowers.
Temperature is 19 degrees outside our BZ studios.
Your Nathan Show just makes me glow each weekend night. He's beyond compare and so debonair. He shines so bright.
On BZ 103, oh please don't turn that dial. He makes me smile. Your Nathan Show.
The time is 6 minutes after 4 o'clock. Good morning. We have lots of open lines, and we'll be around for another hour, and that means that we love to hear from you. Thank you just so much. Okay, the number is 617. That's our area code, you know that. And the phone number is 254-1030. If you've thought about calling and never have in the past, or maybe been a little nervous about it, this would be a really swell time to do it. Because lines are open, you won't have to wait very long. 254-1030, area code 617. Incidentally, those of you who have won the dumb birthday game in the past, and we promised you a whole lot of tacky, tasteless prizes from the worthless WBZ gift shop, I have gotten a little behind as a result of all the Christmas mail and birthday cards and all that. So forgive me. I haven't forgotten, and the stuff will come out to you. I promise you, or my name ain't Aloys of Rilla. Thank you. Okay, the lottery numbers, Massachusetts Daily Lottery, was 2413. The Mass Millions game, 21320. 40, 47, and 49, with a bonus number of 11. No winners. No winners of the whole amount. So the next Mass Millions will be worth about $5 million. The Tri-State, pick 3005, and the pick 4, 5262. The winning numbers in the Friday Tri-State five-card cash game, 3, 4, 14, 17, 30, plus queen. And in the New Hampshire cash lotto, this is just, again, not the tri-state, but just the New Hampshire one, 1, 2, 10, 16, 17, and 22. Rhode Island daily, 6, 8, 2, 4. Connecticut daily, 3, 4, 2. The Connecticut pick, 4. Is our play for 1549. And I always want to fall asleep when I'm reading these numbers. They just never stop. And they go on and on. Lucky New England isn't composed of 19 states or something, each with 97 different lotteries.
Connecticut State Lottery's lotto was 1, 8, 30, 32, 35, and 36. No first prize winning tickets sold in the lotto drawing in Connecticut, so the estimated jackpot is $9.5 million for the next drawing. And to the republic for which it stands. Okay, let's see what's happening. In the NBA, I'll give you today's schedule and we'll go to a score or two. Boston's playing at Vancouver tonight at 10 o'clock, the Boston Celtics and Vancouver. And let's see, hold on there. I know that last night, for example, in the NBA, the Boston Celtics got clobbered by the Seattle Supersonics. Let's see if I forget what the score. They lost by almost 40 points. You don't care about all that kind of stuff, do you, right this very minute? Thank you very, very much. Okay, 254-1030 area code is the very lovely 617. We'll go to the phones and talk with Jenna Rosa. Good morning.
Good morning, Norman.
Yes, that is I.
I had to call and tell you that last week I was in the hairdressers, and when the lady called my name, I went up to pay my check or whatever, and all of a sudden this woman sprang up of her chair and come over. She had the most beautiful blue eyes, and she said to me, "Oh, Jenna Rosa." Yes, I acknowledge the fact. And she says, "I have to tell you, I love to listen to Norman. He's got the most beautiful voice."
So
I said, "Well, Norman, I don't know. Some of these ladies, but from what I hear, boy, oh boy, they're turning your head."
Well, they really are. And as a matter of fact, my life is very heady that way. I'm entertaining ladies at my private home.
I know. 24 lined up there.
Yeah, they're all coming up the driveway. They're lined up along the street. I've had to hire the Middleton police to check traffic, as a matter of fact, in the area. Anyway, that's very nice. And the reason she told you is because she's heard you on the program and she knows that you're a part of the WBZ family, aren't you? You're too shy and too self-effacing to say that, aren't you?
Well, it's very nice to know, but I don't realize that people do listen. And I'm really pleased when someone recognizes my voice and my name, but I had an unpleasant experience happen to me today, and I have to pass this on. I was on the phone. I had put something in the oven, and I had been in the other room, and a phone call. So talking, I smelled something, and I said, "Gee, I don't know. That's a funny odor." I said, "I better go and check this out." I hung up the phone, and I went out into the kitchen. Wow. But smoke like I never saw in my life.
Mm.
I looked at the oven, and there's flames. Norman, I tell you, my heart just stood still a minute. And I said, "Hey, I'm not going to panic. Now, what do I do?" I shut the gas off immediately. I went back to the phone and called the fire department. And within 2 or 3 minutes, they were down. But what happened, apparently according to the directions, I had to put the oven up quite high. And some of the oil must have splattered onto the oven. And what an experience. It was really quite frightening.
No, I would imagine it was. Aren't you lucky that the fire department responded so quickly?
Oh, Peabody has, I'm telling you, we have wonderful things at our disposal. And that fire, they were so nice. I said, I felt like a fool because I should have known better, I suppose. But you don't realize that just a little thing can spark off. But anyway, it's no damage, just a dirty oven and the smoke-filled house. But other than that, everything was fine.
Oh, that's good. It didn't ruin the oven either then, even though there were flames.
No, you see these things on the news and you read about it, but you don't think it's ever going to happen. Well, this was my first experience, but it'll never happen again, I assure you. But anyway, on a pleasant note, I hope you have a very happy and healthy new year.
Thank you very much.
Shout out to your darling girls.
Thank you. You too. And I hope you have a great New Year's.
I expect to. excuse me. I'm going to the AARP is having a New Year's Eve party tomorrow, which is Sunday afternoon at 12 o'clock. We board the Odyssey, and we have a regular New Year's Eve party, the hat, the drinks, and all that stuff. the dinner. And then at the closing, we take the get on the bus and we go and see the ice sculptures, which we did last year. I went last year, and it was great fun. And you get home about 6:30, so you're still home in time to enjoy New Year's Eve with friends and family. So it was kind of nice.
Excellent.
I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent.
Yeah, we all get gussied up, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay, well, I hope you have a great time, and that 1996 will be sweet and kind to you, Generosa.
I hope so, and to you, too, and everyone else. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Generosa.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's right, because tomorrow night is the first night in Boston, and there'll be a whole lot of things going on, so it's well worth coming into town, or there may be a first night in a community where you live. Up in Beverly, I'll be doing a couple of talks on old-time radio at the First Baptist Church, all part of the Beverly First Night program. That starts around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That is the whole program and all. A lot of things going on for the kids, especially for the afternoon that will be kids' time. Around 6 or 6:30, the procession down the main street. My first talk is at 7, and then the second one is at 8. If you come by the First Baptist Church right on Cabot Street, downtown Beverly, tomorrow night, I appreciate that a lot. And come by and say, hello. Why, my goodness, you're even funnier looking than I pictured you would be. That's why I'm back up in the attic with my peanut butter sandwiches and my suction shoes and walking around the ceiling. Meantime, let me show you a picture of myself in front of the Sault Ste. Marie Railroad Station in 1904. Okay, knock it off. Let's go to Pat in Boston. How you doing, Miss Pat?
Hi, Norm. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
You know, I work nights, and this is one of the few occasions I get to listen to you. And I've missed not listening to you.
Oh, you've missed not listening. That's an interesting sentence.
Is that it? I missed.
I'm taking it as a compliment.
It is a compliment. I meant.
Okay. What kind of work do you do?
I work in a hospital.
Are you a nurse?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, but you work overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad you get a chance to tune in at least once every... At least occasionally.
All those calls were like old friends talking and catching up. Granted, some were, but still, it felt like we all knew them too. Here's that recipe for arthritis. I'll wait while you get a pen. I'll have some coffee. That reminds me, please consider supporting the show in the new year. There are three ways to do so you can spin that wheel and pick whichever you'd like. The Teen Canteen appreciates all those that have, and hopes for 2025 are high for a great year. Ah, there's a coffee that Fred bought me. Okay, you ready for the recipe? A tablespoon of Certo, 4 ounces of Welch's, and don't you dare get another grape juice. Welch's, it has to be Welch's grape juice. And then you drink a glass of that a day. So 1 glass a day for 2 weeks. Let's close the vault and leave this world a little sillier than we found it. 4, important program meetings. Gullibility. Nat Hentoff, the Boston Phoenix, knowing a lot about a lot of things. Caring young punks. Doing something nice and saying thank you. Senior citizen discounts. New Year's resolutions you can keep. Exercising. Figure skaters. The Flow Glow. Purposely punny. Wild orgies. Arthritic recipes. Pectin. Welch's grape juice. Certo. Old time radio. The First Baptist Church in Beverly, Massachusetts. Romance over 35. My extensive files. Being pleased as punch. Nudity. Puritanical views, strong pronouncements, and psychic predictions. The gentlemanly David Brudnoy. The missing in action Jamie Bernard. The New England chapter of the American Institute of Parliamentarians. The ladies' love for Norm. Town moderators, First Night, WMEX, WCOP. The singing cowboy. The Boston Barn Dance, the Hayloft Jamboree, Mechanics Hall, the Ace Recording Company, Sue Bennett, the Devil's Henchman, Unitone, the Maiden's Weep, the Mayor of Milo, Maine, Nelson Bragg, the Leland Powers School of Broadcasting, Card Games in Egypt, Massachusetts, Beacon Wax, Speckled Pups Under the Wagon, Lamont Cranston and his constant companion, Margot Lane, the Boston Youth Children's Symphony Orchestra, Harry Ellis Dixon, violins, the Padula Brothers Incorporated in Lunenburg, Linda Chase and her mom Irene, the Youth Voice Collaborative, Microfilm, the Boston Transcript, Arnie Ginsberg, Post Serial, Dunkin' Donuts, WHIL, WXKS, Turkish 93 FM, Connectedness, the Middleton Police Details to control the line of female traffic heading up Norm's driveway, Mike Coleman, Ed Donahue, Jim Cameron, Ed LeClaire, a head cold suffering Mike Epstein, the amazing, worldly, and wise Jack Hart, and the ashamed, physically unfit, yet multi-generationally appealing Norm Nathan, I'm America's youngest looking senior citizen, Tony Nesbitt.